Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we are taking a break from our study of the book of Revelation to look at the book of Proverbs with Associate Pastor Kyler Lanier as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Associate Pastor Kyler Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
There's a purpose to the grace of God that's given to us. We find in Titus 2:11, it says the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all man. There's a purpose. It's intentionally given, shown to all man to bring forth salvation. Ephesians 2:8 tells us, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay, grace exists to bring man salvation, but it can be rejected. And that's the problem. People can reject it. So we've all heard this definition, that grace is God giving us something we do not deserve, and mercy is God not giving us something we do deserve. We're all pretty familiar with that, right? And it's a great, great definition of those two terms. But if you kind of look in the Webster's Dictionary for about grace, and you get looking to grace, the literal definition of grace that we find for us as English speakers is this. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. For our English minds, this is what grace is. Okay, here's why that's important. If grace is the unmerited favor of God, a merited favor must then by necessity exist to distinguish it from grace. Otherwise, we would just call it grace. But grace is a specific kind of favor. It's the unmerited favor of God. The favor of God is not arbitrarily obtained. We talked about that word arbitrarily. It means just by random, happenstance, on a whim. It doesn't happen by accident. Grace of God is available to all man for an intentional purpose. And the favor of God doesn't just happen to fall upon somebody. You understand? Proverbs chapter 3. Turn over there just a page or two to Proverbs 3. We're going to read the first four verses. Again, my son. There's a relationship here. Forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Remember, we looked at that commandment with promise. Things are starting to tie in together. Look at the next ones. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Okay, why? We're getting to the why. That's our question, why? So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. I want you to make note of that. You do this, you'll find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. So then, by necessity, if you do not do this, you will not find favor. And that brings me to this statement. Grace is given. Favor is earned. Grace is given. That favor, that merited favor that we're talking about, is earned. Why is that an important thought? Well, the non-regenerated spirit of man can only receive grace. That's it. It's all that's available to him. He cannot earn anything. Nothing. The unregenerated spirit of man cannot earn a thing. However, the regenerated spirit is now clothed in Christ's righteousness and has the opportunity to earn much. To earn much. God now sees and recognizes that man as a child of God, and a special favor should follow in his life. We talk about the fruits that ought to show. Are you following the thought here? Here's why I'm hitting on this so hard. We get in... I've heard it time and time again about God loves everybody the same, that kind of stuff. I'm not here saying anything different about that. But here's the thought that we don't like, and it's usually presented in this way, and this is kind of when I go, well, it's that God doesn't have any favorite people. And we'll kind of get that thought from, he's not a respecter of persons, that kind of thing. Well, okay, I'm here to pop the bubble. God has some favorite people. He loves everybody. And the grace, how do you measure the love of Christ? You cannot. So he loves everybody, and the opportunity to grow in that relationship with him is available to all. Why? Because he's not a respecter of persons. He's not withholding it from some and giving it to others. It's available to everybody, an equal playing field. But it's then upon us to grow, to learn, to behave well, to exercise ourselves properly in our walk with Christ, to be faithful to his cause, to help build up and edify one another, and to serve the Lord through the church. And with all these things, the smile with which God looks upon our life gets bigger. It's biblical. He begins to take more pleasure in our worship. He begins to take more pleasure in our life. Why? Because in doing these things, did you know that we're earning spiritually now? We're earning a better position, relationship with the Lord, a better favor that's being bestowed upon us. Jesus himself, again, set this example. So this is kind of a crazy line of thinking. Well, stop. What's the scriptural reference for this line of thinking? We got to check it. Okay. We looked about Jesus being subject unto his parents. How about this one? Luke 2:52. What did Jesus do during his teenage years? It kind of looks to be a blank in the Bible. He's born. He's young. He's amazing people in the temples and all, in the synagogues. And then now he's a grown man starting his ministry. Well, what happened in the pages there? Well, here's exactly what happened. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. He set the example for us. After our new birth, our relationship with Christ, we're supposed to grow. And before we jump off that edge of, well, now we're some kind of a super believer and a spiritual and look at the ministries God used us for and we're trying to do all this work for Christ, we ought to be focusing on increasing in wisdom. The knowledge, the Bible talks about it, it's the knowledge of the holy. It's our understanding of the scriptures in stature, in favor with God and man. The Bible says Jesus increased in favor with God and man. He set that example for us. So the walk of a believer is a special relationship, a parent-child relationship with God the Father and us, a new child of God. And likewise, he uses that in our walk with Christ to help us with those elders in the faith and those stronger that help lead us with the thought that one day we will be strong to help lead others in the way, be the example we ought to be, to help beget other minds with the like mind in Christ Jesus. We have to have this mindset. That's why we read the parent-child verses earlier. And if you're a parent, you understand you love all your children. You're a parent, you love all your children. But every now and then, one of those kids might do something special. They might say something special. And they're going to earn an extra bit of favor in your eyes. Why? Well, you love them anyway. They're your kid. But now, it's not a one-way street. Now they're showing you how much they love you. And you start to see, and they grow in favor. And that's why people get in trouble. You pastors talk about it before you. Don't go around telling this kid's my favorite, and you know, that kid's not, that kind of thing. But in our walk with the Lord, ought to be that way. We don't run around, I'm God's favorite person. But it's one of those things that goes without people see. Okay, there's something special going on there. He loves all of us, but there's something special happening there. There's some extra favor, extra touch of grace in their life that seems to be missing from mine. And they're not running around saying, look at me, I'm his favorite. But it's evident because they're exercising, expressing themselves in such a manner to draw closer to the Lord. It's a natural thing that happens. And that's why I think we get the mentality. We hate to think that, man, God has favorite people. Because I don't know about you, but when I think that thought, the immediate thought that follows, the caboose on that train is, well, I'm not one of his favorite. And instead I think, okay, well, God doesn't have any favorites. We're all the same and I don't have to do nothing. God loves me. And that kind of thinking is poisoning the life of the believer. Look, we ought to be trying to gain favor with the Lord. We ought to be trying to grow and to walk. And Proverbs helps us do that. It helps give us that mindset of these things that we ought to know, we ought to learn, we ought to know. Proverbs teach us that we must have that association, that father-son association, the father-child. We have that relationship with, literally, the Father.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Associate Pastor Kyler Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious Word. And visit us online at westwoodmbc.org to hear more teachings like this. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly is our prayer.